Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, folks. Friday, November the 21st. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Mike Haas, voice of the New Orleans Saints, joins us at 12:30. We'll talk about the Saints taking on the Dirty Birds this weekend at the Caesars Superdome. And, well, somewhat of a critical game for the Saints, obviously. And we'll talk about that with Mike Haas. Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, joins us. The Tigers take on the Western Kentucky. I believe it's a 6:45 start Saturday evening. We'll talk about that upcoming game, and we'll get the latest on what's going on with this coach's search as well. At 11:30, Lacey Osborne with the she is the president of the St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce. We'll talk about education available on the North Shore and what some of the numbers are showing as to the progress that they're making over there. And at 11, we will start out with Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner of the great state of Louisiana. We'll talk about fortified home grants, a new round of funding. And we'll also talk about some recently approved rate discounts that have come across the Louisiana insurance commissioner's desk. At 10:30, Mark Krikorian, executive director of the Center for Immigration Studies, will talk about what the data is showing to what is happening at the border. We'll also talk about a hot topic of these H-1B visas, the status of that as well, and some other questions that I will ask Mark. He's a subject matter expert in his field, about what ICE can do and not do, because there is a lot of conjecture going on right now. There's a lot of consternation being built up in the city right now, everybody wanting to give advice as to what to do, what not to do, how to evade federal law enforcement, which is really mystifying to me that we are willing to do so in such an open and fashion as to, you know, how to circumvent the laws of the state of the United States and how to circumvent being captured by ICE or others. I've never seen a time in this country where we're so open about this, and we're criticizing strategies and tactics that are used on citizens every day. Every day. But yet, for some reason, when it comes to this sector of the community, we have been completely bamboozled as you know, why things ought to be the way they are. These things tend and come in many different shapes and forms, right? And we have immigration attorneys giving out all kinds of advice right now as to what to do or not to do relative to the individuals. I would caution folks, think about what you're doing before you step into that foray and follow this advice. They're looking out for the best interests of the individual. That's who they represent. They're not necessarily looking out for the best interests of the business. So they complain that, you know, a lot of times these searches that are made by ICE and or Border Patrol or otherwise is by consent. Guess what? No different with local law enforcement. No different with state law enforcement, no different with federal law enforcement. That's typically what happens. More often than not, you get consent because the individual knows that they're dirty, that they've done something that they shouldn't have done, and they know that they've been boxed into a corner. And rather than drag this process on and make things and matters worse for all parties involved, they cooperate. And in fact, that's why I read what the ACLU provides. Don't run, don't hide, don't do these things, because they will come back to haunt you. You play silly games, you get silly outcomes, right? But understand what their interest is. Their interest is entirely different from most others. And where it really goes awry, in my view, is they are saying and trying to hammer this message that, like for business owners, that they have the right to deny federal immigration agents access to non-public areas such as kitchens and offices if they lack warrants. More often than not, agents rely on consent searches. That's every day in America. That's how it works. And these business owners allow entry into these non-public areas. Or these folks are saying they threaten you until you give consent and let them in your business. Now, this is the threat, okay? The threat in everyday America is no problem. We're going to sit here. We're going to have one of our officers go down to a detached magistrate. We're going to, you know, whip out a warrant in a matter of about 10 minutes, and we'll go down there. We'll get it signed. They'll email it to us, and we'll be in your door in probably less than an hour. So how do you want to do this? Well, we don't want to go through that exercise. Just come on in. Right. That's a threat in their world. The other threat, let's bring it back to immigration, is that ICE, Border Patrol, others, will just simply issue an I-9 audit notice to the business owner. Because you see, under the laws of this country, you have to have every employee fill out an I-9 form, legal, illegal, citizen, or otherwise. And ICE has the authority to conduct an audit to see whether or not you've done so. So there are not many people that fill out I-9s for illegals that are being hired, right? Because that's a problem. It's illegal, right? So the last thing that you want to go through is an I-9 audit where they're documenting people leaving that place of business or whatever at some point in time, taking pictures of them as they exit. There's no expectation of privacy once they hit the public sphere. It's done every day to citizens of this country in conducting all kinds and sorts of investigations. But you don't have anybody telling you that. The advice they're giving you may end up getting you in more trouble than what it's worth. Because the imposition of fines against the employers that don't have their I-9 forms sacrosanct and in order, guess what happens? You got it. Fines. And you start paying fines. And then it becomes a problem. Because these fines are wide-ranging. In fact, some data from fiscal year 2017, $97.6 million in judicial forfeitures, fines, and restitution, and $7.8 million in civil fines alone. That number is going up. In fact, just the other day, 5,200 I-9 audit notices to business across the United States in a two-phase nationwide operation. It's one of the most effective tools that immigration has in compelling compliance because it's mandatory. And when asked and given the notice, and they only need to give you 3 days, you get 3 days to respond, and the wheels of justice start spinning. And if your I-9s are not in order, and not sacrosanct, guess what's happening? You're getting in trouble, both financially and the possibility of incarceration. Now, when you look at everything that's being reported about what all these immigration attorneys are recommending to business owners to say, oh, you know, you don't have to give consent. You don't have to cooperate. You don't have to do anything. No, you don't. But guess what? You think maybe you're forecasting that, Houston, you got a problem? They're not telling you that. They're not telling you any of that. You got government officials that are telling folks, don't cooperate, don't do this, don't do that. Go ahead. Guess what? You're going to create more problems for yourself than what it's worth. And if you do, and you have, the last thing you want them doing is conducting that audit. Because in many cases, what they're trying to do is just get to a removal and a deportation order on these individuals to move them out of the country. So think long and hard and maybe coordinate with your lawyer as to whether or not you are going to cooperate or not. It's interesting. I've looked at, you know, news reports across the country. These same people are not advising business owners. Oh, by the way, if you don't grant consent, you may be subject to this, and it may be a huge problem for you in the end. Right? Because remember that, you know, we're worried about a lot of things. We're worried about kids not going to school. We're worried about people not going to work and not showing up at work. And this is what they're talking about. So let me try and figure this out. So we're worried that they can't hide long enough because we're not sure how long these people are going to be here in the city of New Orleans. Meanwhile, they continue to violate the law. Both their employer and the employee continue to violate the law, and that's what we're worried about. We're worried about their continual violation of the law. Interesting. It's ironic because if you had that same situation as it relates to, let's say, a child molester that's being employed by a school, a charter school, whatever it may be, and the principals of the school know that that's the case. I just don't see people worrying about the fact that there's going to be some kind of enforcement action, and, you know, not that that individual did anything wrong on that particular school campus. Maybe it was something that happened a decade before. I don't see anybody going to the streets worrying about, you know, how long a roundup by the U.S. Marshals or this or that or local law enforcement is going to take because this person is going to hide out and not go to work and hopefully not get caught at work because it's a violation of the law to have them working in that context. It's absolutely incredulous what's actually going on and the story that they're trying to tell, right? On the one hand, we speak out of one mouth and say we want good, clean, aggressive law enforcement. We want people to be able to live in an ordered and structured society. We want a safe place to live, work, and raise a family. And for the most part, in almost any given poll, it's all about compliance with the law, right? Compliance with the law. But at the same time, we've created this whole different scenario. And, you know, what's really interesting as well is that now we have concerns because Border Patrol is no longer going to be working at the border, and they're going to be working in the interior of this country. Well, there's no one to blame but Joe Biden. They let so many people in such a short period of time. They overwhelmed the border states. They overwhelmed the border towns. They overwhelmed the hospital systems there, the medical delivery systems, the educational delivery systems. All of the infrastructure were overwhelmed in those border states. So what did they do? They began to move those individuals into the interior of the country so that everybody could share in the largesse of the one of the most difficult problems ever created by a singular president in the history of this country. And now we're concerned because we're having to do proactive law enforcement in the interior. Go figure. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Where did you think it was going to end up? They were flying people into the interior. They were busing people into the interior. Not the state border states themselves. They did it as well. But the federal government was. This is not a Donald Trump issue. This is not the current administration issue. This is an issue that was created by the previous administration. And now people want it cleaned up. They want order and they want structure. And it's not what we have. We have people standing in the way of law enforcement, throwing rocks at law enforcement, spitting on law enforcement, giving law enforcement vehicles flats on their tires, doing all kinds of horrific things to law enforcement agents for doing their job. Where does this end? Destruction of property because they're doing their job? Harm to them individually? Threatening their families on social media? Where does this end? Is this all part of the plan that's being perpetuated by mainstream media as well as elected officials across this country? This is where we want to go? This is the best course of action that we believe should be taken at this point in time. And we, for some reason, believe that it's not going to bleed over into being against the local police. Look what happened just the other day at a gathering. They backed down the NOPD. It's not going to end just with Border Patrol and ICE. And now we're upset because we have local law enforcement officials that are saying they will not engage in the activity of immigration enforcement, but they will provide security for federal law enforcement officers who we work with every day, who we are on task forces with every single day of the year, trying to make your neighborhood safe, trying to remove the scourge of society off the streets. And they call upon local law enforcement to protect their back so they're not attacked by crazy citizens out there that want to stand in the way of them enforcing the law. And now we're anti the law enforcement official. Wow. This is incredible. None of these people pass these laws. None of them. None. And the last thing you want in our society, which separates us from third world countries, and I said this when I was an elected sheriff, you don't want me to choose the winner laws and the loser laws based on my ideology and based on what I believe should be enforced or not. That's not what I'm elected for. I'm elected for all the people, for all the laws, to enforce them all. To this day, people still ask me, why were you so proactive in prostitution? And why would you even make bee drinking cases? Because it's against the law. If I get complaints and there's an issue, and there's a byproduct to that criminal activity that makes an area less safe, and it always does, we're going to go enforce the law. That's what we do. So think long and hard about all this great advice that everyone's given to folks. It may come home to haunt you. It may end up costing you money. You may end up losing your business. There's example of this. And in fact, in every polling in the last 20 years, Overwhelmingly, the general public has asked for I-9 enforcement. Why are we not enforcing it there? It seems to me that that would be the easiest and quickest way to resolve this issue. And they're right. Your intuition is exactly right. But don't let these ideologues move you on that particular issue. Because if you don't think they're not taking jobs away from U.S. citizens, and if you don't think they're not distressing labor rates, and if you don't think that it is minimizing the ability or the desire of business owners to provide health insurance coverage for their employees, you're sadly mistaken. There's study after study after study that says otherwise. Now, let me finish it up with this. That does not mean that these are all bad people. They're not. We understand exactly why they want to come to this country. It is the freest country in the entire world. We understand that. But we have an obligation to set up rules. And we have them. It's called the Immigration and Nationality Act. And these I-9s, this act was passed, I think, in 1986, if my memory serves me correct, to address issues, to address problems. And then we hire a whole host of people to enforce it. That's the way it works. That's how you get to an ordered and structured society. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. Mark, welcome to the show.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Mark, obviously, Border Patrol, ICE, they've announced, and the president has announced that we have their task forces headed to the state of Louisiana, and in particular, where we're broadcasting from, the city of New Orleans. Folks have been going crazy. There's advice being given on how to evade, how to hide, how to avoid the enforcement operations of federal law enforcement, which is totally mystifying to me. That's not a straight line to an ordered and structured society. And people are saying that Border Patrol now in the interior of the United States is another unique problem, but I don't understand that either. Do you?
Well, I mean, I understand it to the degree that people who support illegal immigration don't want the law enforced. I mean, that's why they're going to New Orleans, because it's a sanctuary city. And, you know, they don't cooperate with immigration enforcement. And that doesn't mean that ICE or DHS or Border Patrol want cops, the New Orleans police, to go around asking people for their, you know, papers. That's not DHS doesn't want that. What they want is when the cops, in the normal course of their business, arrest people for drunk driving, drug dealing, beating their wives, whatever it is, and their fingerprints are scanned. They go to the FBI, but they also go to DHS now, and ICE gets a hit and says, hey, this guy was deported 2 years ago. You know, if he's here, he's a felon by definition, because it's a felony to come back. Please hold on to him for up to 2 days after you're done, whatever it is you all want to do at the local level. Try him, let him go, plea deal, whatever it is, that's your business. But let us know, and we'll come and pick him up and, you know, have him go back where he belongs. New Orleans doesn't do that, and that's what sanctuary cities by definition are. And so what do you get? You have to get federal agents coming and, you know, with lists of people that they're looking for and go do enforcement on the street, which they'd rather not do. They'd rather just be in the jails and process all the people that the police arrest in the normal police business, but sanctuary cities don't allow that.
So, Mark, I was just talking about a number of immigration advocates and activists, as well as immigration lawyers, providing advice on how to secrete oneself when immigration comes around. They are telling business owners that more often than not, the reason that the public areas of a business that ICE and others are able to go into is because they grant consent. And they're advising folks that they should withhold consent. I made the observation, well, that's nice, you can do that, but you may pay the price because I would suspect that you're going to have an I-9 audit coming your way. They have to give 3 days notice, and then if you don't have your proverbial it in order, you're going to have a huge problem. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's exactly right. The thing is that DHS isn't doing enough of that, which they should be doing. That's sort of the other half of immigration enforcement. Part of it is guys in body armor going out and, you know, with a list of specific people they're looking for and going and getting them. The other half should be, instead of guys with body armor, it's kind of like you suggest, it's sort of guys with briefcases. Let's go and see your, you know, computer records. Or, you know, did you get a letter from Social Security saying that the information you submitted, the name and the Social Security number for a guy working for you, don't match our data? That kind of sort of paper enforcement has to be sort of the other hand, like you have, or the other front, sort of two fronts of enforcement. One is the guys with the badges. The other is the guys with the briefcases. And you got to do both. And in this case, this is exactly the kind of situation where that would help.
So, you know, when we talk about what's going on at the border recently, I think there was some new data that has been released. Tell us about that data.
Well, this is a Census Bureau survey data that they just collect all the time for the Labor Department, and unemployment numbers. All that stuff comes from Census Bureau surveys. And what we found from the partial release of the September data, it's not that they're hiding anything. It's just that this is sort of the first kind of 30,000 foot batch of view of the data that they're releasing, shows that the foreign born population is continuing to decline, because we looked at the detailed data for January through July. And what we found was that the total foreign born population had declined by 2.2 million. Since Trump took over, or since the beginning of January. And of that, 1.6 million were illegal immigrants. Now, this is survey data, so, you know, it may end up being, when we get the final count, maybe it's 2 million, maybe it's 2.4 million. But the point is, there is a real decline in the illegal population, especially. And most of that is not ICE deportations. It's self-deportations, and that's what they need to promote and are, in fact, promoting as much as possible.
In fact, a lot of the rhetoric and the announcements I find that are being made by ICE and others, I think, is simply trying to motivate and drive people to self-deport, right? I mean,
sure.
They're talking about coming into jurisdictions saying, we anticipate that we're going to arrest 50,000 illegals. I doubt very seriously that that's ever going to happen, but they're trying to encourage people to self-deport and to save the opportunity to come back to this country legally.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not even just that. It's also, if you're an illegal immigrant and you leave on your own before ICE catches up with you, you get to sort of put your affairs in order, pack up stuff, do whatever, make whatever arrangements you want, and, you know, leave in a kind of dignified way. You don't end up having to be arrested. The thing is, though, you can't just do that with you know, PSAs on the radio and high-profile raids where you're, you know, targeting criminals, because most illegal immigrants aren't that kind of criminal. They've committed immigration-related crimes, but, you know, most of them aren't rapists or murderers. They're just ordinary working stiffs. And what you need is, like I said before, you have to join the kind of hard enforcement with soft enforcement related to the workplace and Social Security numbers and E-Verify audits, because that is how you get the ordinary non-rapist illegal aliens to reconsider and decide to go home.
You and I have talked about this before. Do you have any recent data on remittances from the U.S.? I mean, these are dollars that leave our economy, that we don't get the multiplier effect of once a transaction is made, a payment is made, that, you know, these dollars turn over in our economy. Some say in a micro sense, you know, in a particular geographic area, that dollar may turn over 7 to 9 times. And that multiplier is what drives our economy when you think about all the kind of micro economies across the 50 states. Do we have any current data on remittances?
Yeah, not from the U.S. side, but Mexico reported, there was a piece, this was for September, that remittances fell for the sixth consecutive month, remittances to Mexico. And obviously, U.S. is the main source of remittances to Mexico, and Mexico is the main place that U.S. remittances go to. So this gives us a good sense that money being sent home is going down. Now, it's not clear why that is. Are people, you know, leaving, so they're not, you know, they're not sending money home? Are they, in other words, are they going home, so instead of sending money, they're just returning? Or are, you know, immigrants here just deciding to send less money? It's not clear what, but the remittances are definitely going down. And, you know, some people object when you point to remittances and they say, well, you know, yeah, it's a lot of money, but not in the scale of the, you know, our gigantic economy. But my response to that is, these remittances are coming from some of the places in the country that have the most need for capital. In other words, it's not like people in Wall Street are sending remittances to Mexico. This is people in poor areas. So instead of, say, somebody, let's just say legal immigrants, let's even take illegals out of it. Let's say instead of investing the money, saving up some money to, I don't know, buy a food truck or some other kind of investment like that, you're just sending the money back home to the deadbeat brother-in-law who, you know, uses it to pay his bills. That's taking capital out of the most capital-starved parts of the country. So the effect is actually bigger than you would suggest, then just looking at the numbers would suggest.
Yeah, we often don't look at it, you know, that way. And then you couple that with a new phenomenon that people are talking about, is that a number of folks that actually come here, either legally or illegally, have actually no desire to ultimately become a U.S. citizen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a long...
Which is contrary to what most people think. Most people think that the only reason they're coming here is to be a U.S. citizen. But the reality is many are motivated to come here to share in the largesse of what this country does for folks, you know, in some of the programs that we offer. And everyone denies, oh, there's no illegal in this program. And then you go conduct an audit and you find out there's a bunch. And it's a collection of one program after the other, and then the numbers become meaningful. But they have no intention of assimilating and becoming a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been the case really for any kind of immigration. I mean, people are coming for their own reasons. Usually it's jobs. Maybe they also have relatives here. Or maybe they just want to live in a place where the cops don't shake you down for bribes every time, you know, you get stopped. But the point is that it's sort of twofold. One is, yes, a lot of immigrants go back, and that's, we can harness that for illegal immigrants and get them to go back because maybe they didn't intend to stay at all. But the other side is that a lot of immigrants come with no intention of staying. It's like, well, I'm going to work for 3 years, save up money, go back home and buy a taxi cab and start my own little business. And then, you know, 3 years turns into 8 years, turns into 12 years, and they have kids, and they bring and you bring it up at the dinner table, and the kids are like, "What are you, crazy? We're not going back to Ghana. We're Americans." And so you want to get, especially illegals, to leave. The earlier you can push them out, the better, because the longer they stay, the less likely it is that they or their family members are going to say, you know, going to agree to go home.
And these economic patterns that we just talked about and outlined continue to go on and don't work to the benefit of our economy in so many different ways. But it's amazing how we don't want to talk about that. It's really amazing how a lot of people now are trying to give advice on how to avoid, you know, police activities, how to avoid arrest, how to avoid this, how to avoid that. I've never seen a time in this country like now where that seems to be the talk of the day.
Yeah, the thing is, especially on immigration, there's a significant part of the left that has come to the view that immigration law itself is immoral. In other words, any limits on foreigners wanting to come here is basically Jim Crow. And so they see it as heroic to subvert law enforcement in that respect. And, you know, that's not a good place for the country, frankly.
Now, in fact, I had someone ask me the other day, they said, I heard you say on radio that illegal immigrants that ask for a lawyer, they have to pay for their own lawyer. And it's like, why are we not giving them and paying for their lawyer? I said, because these are civil violations.
Right.
I said, you don't do that for citizens.
Exactly.
It'd be great if I could go get a government-appointed lawyer for free and I don't have to give up 40% of the award that I get in a personal injury case. The government's going to pay for all of that.
And the thing is, even illegal immigrants do get taxpayer-funded lawyers in criminal matters. If you're arresting somebody, an illegal immigrant, for, you know, drug dealing, he gets a lawyer and we pay for it. It's a criminal matter, but not civil matters. And deportation is a civil matter.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of folks don't recognize, you know, what the other side of it is, you know, where we're giving benefits to an illegal, but a citizen is not, none of those benefits inure to citizenship, which that, in my view, is fundamentally wrong on all fronts. As always, we appreciate your time, your insight. Mark Krikorian, Executive Director, Center for Immigration Studies. Thank you so much for joining us, sir.
Thank you. You have a good weekend.
You too. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Folks, when we return after the top of the hour news break, we'll visit with Tim Temple, the insurance commissioner for the state of Louisiana. We'll talk about a new round of fortified home grants and more information. And in the back half of the hour, we'll visit with Lacey Osborne, president, St. Tammany Chamber of Commerce.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.